The Gemara in Daf Yudamid Beis tells us that Ifrah Hormiz, the mother of Shavar Malka, who sent 400 dinarim to Rav Ami. Rav Ami didn't want to accept them. Rava ended up accepting them. And in the end, we said everybody agrees on the principles. When the Gentile offers tzedakah, you accept it for Shalom Malchus. You accept it because it's the king, and you can't say no to the king. It would be dangerous for the community. But we don't really want to accept their tzedakah. And therefore, instead of giving it to Jewish poor, you give it instead to Gentile poor, because that minimizes the zchuyos of the Gentiles who gave the tzedakah in the first place. That was what the Gemara said. Tzedakah is given, we want to minimize the zchuyos, and therefore we give it to Gentile poor, which is less of a mitzvah than giving it to Jewish poor. That's what the Gemara said. Now somebody asked a very important question, which was, don't we want Gentiles to have zchuyos? If we had to choose, that either the Gentiles would be... Is it you? Or you just agree with the question. Okay. So, what, we want the Gentiles to do sins? We don't want them to do sins. Don't we want them to be good people? So why are we discouraging their tzedakah? Why are we saying we won't accept their tzedakah? And if we do accept it because of Shalom Malchus, well, we're going to use it for the least valuable thing possible in order to minimize their zchuyos. So at the time, and remember the pasuk was quoted... that the pasuk of the Yavesh, right? Remember that pasuk that says that when the trees when they run out of
moisture,
so that's when the branches crack. And therefore, if the Gentiles have schuyos, then they're strong. And if the Gentiles don't have schuyos, so then they can crack. So based on that pasuk, what we suggested last year was that this is specifically referring to oppressive Gentiles who we're living under. And therefore, when they give us tzedakah, we don't want them to have schuyos, because we want the ge'ula to happen already. This is galus. We want the ge'ula. And I said, it's hard for us to relate to this if we live in modern democracies where we have free will. You can, again, I'm not weighing in on the stage of the ge'ula process that we're up to at this point, but you could get on a plane and move to Israel. No one's stopping you. American government's not preventing you from moving. So don't say, oh, we're stuck in galus. It's true. We're still in a state of galus. The complete ge'ula has not occurred yet. But at least... in terms of Eretz Yisrael, you can pick up, you can come, you don't have to live under a Gentile authority. You can live under a Jewish authority. But certainly if we're talking about in the times of the Gemara, and they're living under the Romans, they're living under the Persians, and they want the Geula to happen already, so we don't want to give schuyos. So that was what we suggested last year, that's what it's referring to. That their schuyos are lengthening our galus. However, if you take a look at the Rambam, I gave you the Rambam in the Makoro sheet, the Rambam takes this Gemara and puts it into a very specific context, which I think will also it's important to learn it, and it will also answer this question. The Rambam says what? What does the Rambam say? That's right. He says this Gemara is specifically referring to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to accept tzedakah from Ovdei Avodah Zarah unless it's for Shalom Malchus. But the Rambam says, but if we're talking about B'nai Noach, if we're talking about upstanding Gentiles who are keeping the Shavuot Mitzvah Sinei Noach, now keeping the Shavuot Mitzvah Sinei Noach is not super complicated. It's not eating live animals. It's not cursing God. It's not cheating. If you ask the average Gentile, you gave him this list of 7 things and said, are these things that everybody should keep? I don't think they would complain about any of them. Okay, there's a little bit of a complication here in terms of Christianity. Is Christianity Avodah Zarah? Is it not Avodah Zarah? Even within Christianity, it's not so clear that all strains of Christianity should be treated in the same way. I think Rabbi Bleich wrote an article about this, about the different strains of Christianity, and he wants to suggest maybe part of the machlokes about Christianity is not really a machlokes, it's really because different Rishonim were talking about different Christians. They lived in different Christian cultures, and therefore they were referring to different beliefs of Christianity. There were debates within, again, we're not having a class on Christianity right now, but there were machlokesim within the different Christian groups. Is, you know, they have all these different machloks, and some of these things will start bordering on Avodah Zarah, and other beliefs might not be Avodah Zarah. How do you understand the Trinity? Is the Trinity really 3 different gods, or is it really 1 God? So how you understand some of these concepts is going to impact whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah or not. But leaving that issue on the side, the Rambam writes, a ben Noach, an upstanding Christian, so you can accept his tzedakah. And not only can you accept his tzedakah, what can you do with it? You can give it to Jewish poor. So you can use it for the greatest purpose that the Gemara identifies that you can use it, that stucken can be used for. And therefore, the Rambam took our entire Gemara on Daf Yud and sidelined it by saying it's only referring to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which I think makes us much more comfortable with the idea that we're against accepting tzedakah. We're not against accepting tzedakah. We're against accepting tzedakah from sinners, from idolaters. Now, it's also very interesting because it makes the historical context very important of the Gemara. Right? The Gemara tells us there was this lady named Ifra Hormiz, and she was the mother of the Sasanian king. Who cares? To say a certain Gentile woman, a noble woman, you can even say it was a queen. What do we need to know who it was, where it was? And the reason why that might be important is because we need to know who we're referring to that we are getting this tzedakah from. What kind of Gentile? The Christians in Bavel at the time of the Gemara, we've spoken about this before, were Sasanians, which was a dynasty within the Persian Empire. Okay, in the history of the Persian Empire, there was a dynasty called the Sasanian dynasty, and they were Zoroastrians, as opposed to the Jews in Israel, who were living under the Romans, who were pagans but became Christians during Constantine's time. That's right. They became Christians during the times of the Amorim. But over in Bavel, right? You know where Bavel is nowadays? What country is Bavel nowadays? Iraq. Iraq is Bavel. I believe, I don't remember if it's Pumbedisa or Mechoza. I think it's Pumbedisa is the city of Fallujah, which you might have heard of Fallujah in the news when the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So Fallujah, that was one of the major cities. I don't remember. I think it was Pumbedisa. It was in Fallujah. Anyway, Iraq. So over there was the Persian Empire. Persians, by the way, are who? Who are the Persians? The Iranians. Persian is Iran. So the Persians were Zoroastrians. And Zoroastrians were over the Avodah Zarah. They're the ones that we refer to that they worship two Rishuyos. Like, remember the Mishnah in Bracho says, you're not, if a Chazan gets up and says, Modim, Modim, so you kick him off the shtender. You remove him from being a chazan. Why? Because it sounds like he's thanking two different gods. Modim, modim. And if you were a Zoroastrian, you wanted to always stick in that second modim. Because in your mind, there was this huge, epic battle between the force of good, the good god, and the evil god. And the good god and the evil god are always at war with each other. The day is ruled by the good god. The night is ruled by the evil god. That's why there's times that are good. That's why the night is much more dangerous time, they believed. Because and there's no light, because it's the time of the evil god. And they worshipped fire, and they believed in two different Mishuyos. So it's just like if you really are very, very worried about Ayin Hara, and someone says, like, oh, how many kids do you have? So if you don't want to, like, sound like too much of a frumie, so you might say, like, five kids, Kenayin Hara. And you, like, say it quickly. You don't want to, Chas V'Shalom, though, not say Kenayin Hara because you're very concerned about Ayin Hara. So if you're a Zoroastrian and you're davening from the Omud, and you're really a secret closet Zoroastrian, when you say modem, you want to get another modem in there quickly because you don't want to think, like, you don't want at night to be davening, whatever, let's say Mincha time, you're davening and it's the time of the good God, the Chesed God. You don't want the Din God, the night God, to be angry at you. So you want to make sure you get modem into both of them. Shtei Rishuyos. Or you even say on Friday night davening in the Mishnayos of Bamei Madlikin, we say that one of the reasons you might want to turn off the candle, Mechabes Haner Mibnei Ovdei Kochavim. Why are you turning off the fire? Because you're scared of Ovdei Kochavim. So Pashtus means maybe you're like hiding from them and you like lit a candle. You know, it's like the story with Rabbi Akiva when his like candle goes out. You're hiding from the Ovdei Kochavim who are going to try to kill you, so you want to put out the candle on Shabbos. Then it's allowed, right? Remember, the Mishnah says there are certain reasons why you're allowed to put out the fire, because Ovdei Kochavim, it's constant fashos. But you can't do it because you don't want to pay for the oil. You want to save money on the oil. Anyone knows what I'm talking about? Anyone said that again? Okay. So we say that if you're scared of the Ovdei Kochavim, it's okay to put out the fire. What does that mean, you're scared of the Ovdei Kochavim? So I always thought that means they're going to kill you. But if you look at the Bar Tanur, the Bar Tanur says, no, because we're talking about the Persians, and they have very strict rules about certain nights that you're not allowed to light fire at night. There's certain nights maybe that's the time period of the bad god, and therefore lighting a light would be a very bad thing to do, because that's like bringing the good god into the bad gods. When I say bad god, I mean like the evil god. They were very suspicious about these types of things. So that is the Zoroastrians. So it's very significant then that the Gemara is talking about who gave the tzedakah. Ifra Hormiz gave the tzedakah. Oh, it's Ifra Hormiz? The Rambam looks at the Gemara and says, oh, this Gemara that says you can't take tzedakah from Goyim, it's Ifra Hormiz. It's Ovdei Kochavim. That's why you're not allowed to take tzedakah. But by a regular Gentile, law-abiding Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach Gentile, you could take tzedakah from them. So this, I think, gives us an additional reason for our halacha. We said originally it was because, oh, we're in Golos, we don't want to give zchuyos to the oppressing forces. This is another explanation. We're talking about Goyim, and this whole Gemara, this whole halacha is only talking about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There is another reason that's suggested, and this comes up in the Gemara Daf Chav Vav in Sanhedrin. The Gemara there says that if you accept staka from Goyim, so you're Pasuli Eidus. Why are you Pasuli Eidus? So Rashi says because you create a Chil Hashem when you accept staka from Gentiles. And if you're willing to get money, if you're willing to do a Chil Hashem for a little bit of money, then you're probably also willing to lie in court for a little bit of money. We can't trust you as an aide. Because for all we know, one of the litigants paid you off. And we see you're willing to... That's the reason, by the way, why a ganav is pasuli eidus. What's the logic of ganav being pasuli eidus? If he's willing to do an aveira for money, so then there's a good chance he'd be willing to lie in court for money. Anyone who's chashed that they would do something for money is not able to be an aide. So that's what Rashi says. The Yad Ramah says a little bit differently. He says that you have no shame if you're willing to take tzedakah from a goy, and therefore you'll probably lie in court because you have no shame, so you'll do anything. That's like that Gemara that says that if you eat in the street. You familiar with that Gemara? Ha'ochel b'shuk is pasul yedus. Why? So, this doesn't mean, Rabbeinu Tam says, it doesn't mean that you have like a coffee in the street, or you have like a little bit of popcorn. It means you sit and you have like a serious meal while you're walking. You ever like walk in Manhattan and like guys are walking toward you, they have like those gyros, you know, and like that's like a non-Jewish version of like shawarma, okay? And the guy's like eating, you know, it's like with the paper around the laffa, and he's getting like the hummus or whatever the equivalent is for a gyro all over his face, and you're walking in the street like that, that means you have no shame. You want to eat, so sit down, sit at a table, use a fork. There's a way to comport yourself. You know, there's a certain way you should hold of yourself. And if you eat in the streets, also we're concerned that you're willing to do something for anything. So you might be possibly Eidus. These are some of the suggestions that are given. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that when Rashi says it's a Chil Hashem, it's Lav Dafka. It doesn't really mean a Chil Hashem. It means that it's an embarrassment for us. The Jewish community, which prides itself on Chesed, we need to turn to the Gentiles for tzedaka? What, if there's someone in your community who doesn't have enough food for Shabbos, and a Gentile's the one who's going to help him out? I remember a guy in yeshiva once told me he had a very sad, unfortunate situation. He was trying to get a bus here in Israel, and he realized he had no money on him. He realized he had left his wallet, and he was someplace. He didn't have any way. And he said that, you know, the first person that offered him, who saw on the bus, that he, when he came on the bus, he didn't have money, the first person who offered him was a secular Jew. And he said, you know, there were from people on the bus. How come they didn't offer? How come it was the secular Jew who offered me? I remember, like, he was like, you know, it was like a discussion that we had after that happened. He was like, you know, talking about it, and you know, just something that we, you know, made him think about, you know, the importance of, it's very important, obviously, of supreme importance to be frum, but you can't forget about some of the basic decent, you know, human decency that you know is even more basic than you know all the chumras and everything else that we always talk about. So it's a little bit, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a little bit embarrassing for the Jewish community if we're accepting stock. Can you imagine if they built the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a big like plaque on the Beis HaMikdash that said, you know, donated by Julio Sanchez of, you know, whatever, you know, Washington Heights, New York. And again, we're not talking about a Ger. You know, it didn't say Ger Tzedek. You know, in honor of the Esposito family and, or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, I'm just looking at you, so I'm thinking, Derek Jeter has donated, you know, the shul in your town. You know, it's, what do you mean, we need to, don't we value the shul enough that we should be supporting the shul? So that's what That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. And he even writes that the whole pasuk from, you know, that the zchuyos, that's all an asmachta. That's not the real reason. This is really a derabanan, and the derabanan was established because it is a disgrace for Klal Yisrael if our support needs to come from the outside. Why can't we support ourselves? So when all the dust settles, if we wanted to really clarify in ourselves for a few lines, okay, when it comes down to it, can we accept staka from non-Jews or not? Someone here mentioned that a lot of the Christian groups in America give a lot of money to Eretz Yisrael, Nefesh B'Nefesh, and these types of organizations trying to, you know, promote Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael. So we're not paskening right now, but from our sugya, what it emerges is, what's the whole isser to accept staka? It's either talking about an oppressive Gentile force or someone that's preventing the geula. Now, I don't run the geula, so I don't know who's doing that. But that's one way we learned it. The other one is that it's only for Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And that would, if we're talking about these Christian groups, that just raises the question then about Avodah Zarah.
Atheism?
So atheism? No, that's not Avodah Zarah if they're atheists.
Maybe they don't keep to the mitzvah.
You want to know, are they considered B'nai Noach?
Yeah.
So the Rambam writes that in order to be a B'nai Noach, you have to keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach because you believe that Hashem gave them to Klal Yisrael, gave them to the world. Not just, I don't do adultery because I think it's unethical. That it could also be unethical. I hope we also all think it's unethical. But the reason we do it is also that we keep the mitzvahs is also because we know that Hashem created. That's maybe what makes them ethical. So the non-Jew has to have that perspective. He has to believe that God commanded us not to do these Shem mitzvahs when they know. One second. So I'm just going to finish the summary, and then so the first question is, what's the reason for the Isser of Tzedakah? As we see, the reason for the Isser of Tzedakah is not so clear. It's either only for Ovdei Avodah Zarah, or it's a derabanan because of the kavod of Klal Yisrael. Number two, in terms of the strength of the Isser, so we're basically seeing that it's certainly not an Isser D'oraisa. It's at best Dibrei Kabbalah. That's that pasuk that we quoted from Yeshaya, I think it was. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's really just an asmachta. It's a pure derabanan. We already proved it wasn't a D'oraisa, because in our Gemara, what were they willing to do? They were willing to accept staka to avoid Geneva's Das. And if Geneva's Das is an Isser D'oraisa, and this is an Isser D'oraisa, why would we choose this one over that one? It must be that Geneva's Das is an Isser D'oraisa, and this is only an Isser D'rabbanan. So that's why he says it's not really, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's not. So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying this pshat within Rashi. He's saying it doesn't mean a Chil Hashem in like the capital letter, Chil Hashem, D'oraisa, Chil Hashem. It's talking about, it's disgraceful. We also, as you saw in the Gemara itself says that you're allowed to do it in private. Now, if it was really an Isser D'oraisa, why are you allowed to do it in private? This works very well with the perspective of the Aruch HaShulchan, that this is all a PR issue. This is a disgrace for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, if they give it privately, if there's no other choice, meaning it's very easy for me in 2017, almost 2018, to stand up here in the front of the room and say, it's such a disgrace that our shuls are paid for by Gentiles. We should pay for it ourselves. It's very easy for me to say that now when we live in relative affluence and our communities are doing very, very well, Baruch Hashem. If we were in Russia 200 years ago and we want to build a mikveh and there's no money in the Jewish community, we're all struggling just to survive, so then it's not such a disgrace. It's still a disgrace, but it's not such a disgrace to take money from the Gentiles. We have no money. It's a disgrace for us because, Baruch Hashem, we're very successful nowadays. And not everybody, but in general, our communities are very affluent. Certainly, yachasit, relative to the general population, let's say in the United States, the Jewish community, relative to the secular, to the non-Jewish community, is in a very good position financially. So it would be even more of a disgrace. And that's why he writes that if it's done in private, or if it's kedei chiyusa, which means you need it to live, so then it's allowed. I saw, and then I'll take the questions, in Rav Zilberstein's Sefer Chashukei Chemed, which is on the Masechtas, somebody asked him, a very interesting shaila, this is very nogah for our sugya. There was a grandfather who was not Jewish, but, I mean, this could be halacha l'maisa with the President of the United States, actually. Grandfather who's not Jewish, he had a daughter who converted, married a Jew, and he has Jewish grandchildren. And Donald Trump and his grandchildren. And he's very impressed, this grandfather, with his grandchildren. They have such fine midos. He's really impressed with their education. And he would like to make a donation to his grandchildren's yeshiva. It's his grandchildren. So the and they were having a building fund, and he wanted a, you know, $500,000 for the cornerstone. His name's going to go up in the building. So this was the shiloh that was brought to Zilberstein. Can they accept the money from the non-Jewish grandfather who's giving it for Torah education? He's not just he's happy with his grandchildren's education. So are you able to accept it, and can you put his name on the building? So he says you definitely can accept. He asked Rav Eliashiv, and Rav Eliashiv said you definitely can accept it. And he goes through some of the reasons we discussed. Definitely you can accept it. He said, the question is with the building, with the name. He said, so he starts getting into this exact issue, that it's a PR issue. So, you know, what is the name? Is the name like, you know, Mary and Christian Smith? Or is it, you know, is it a name that could be Jewish, could be not Jewish? Is it possible to be written in honor of the grandchildren by his grandfather? Like, is that type of, you know, by his loving grandparents? Or by his family? Does it have to be the grandfather? So this is the discussion, and I don't remember exactly what he poskens in the end in terms of that, but he says the donation can certainly be accepted, and they're trying to figure out he gives a couple of options, they're trying to figure out a language to put on that won't create this, you know, this issue of, you know, how come the only grandfather you could find was the non-Jewish grandfather?
Just going back to the beginning where you said that something was embarrassing that you can't accept the or whatever it is, but nonetheless, if you accept it either way, then it's still getting a split. Like, and then we said that it's just something in certain time periods, but isn't accepting it.
So we have the first point. The first point is that the Rambam says it's only about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's not about Bnei Noach. And this Gemara, which is the source you're not supposed to take... let's say it like this. There's two sources that you're not supposed to take tzedakah. One is our Gemara that we did with Ifra Hormuz, and the Rambam shelves that by saying that's talking about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The other Gemara is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that you're posel eidus if you do it. That Gemara, the Aruch HaShulchan, shelves or minimizes and says that's only because it's being done in public, as the Gemara says. And when it's in public, so then it's disgraceful for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what we're saying emerges from these two Gemaras is, if you're not talking about an Oved Avodah Zarah, Allah the Gemara on Daf Yud, and you're not talking about public, where it creates a disgrace, the Gemara on Chavav, so then it would be allowed to accept tzedakah from Gentiles. If you don't have either of those factors, then you're okay. You have to make sure you don't violate the Gemara on Sanhedrin. You don't violate our Gemara on Daf Yud. No, because the one where they accepted it.
Yeah.
That was Shalom Machus, and they but it was Shalom Machus, and that's why it's important that we know it was the queen.
I have a similar question to Evan. I just thought maybe like if you're going to a Nia Akron, so they're poor enough that they don't have food. They're gonna use that money first.
Okay, could be. Okay, let's go. I want to move Beiter. Oh, I.